Hello. I'm Daniel Fisher, and I'm here to talk about a little work we've been doing in Mississippi. This project was mainly a tillage project, and I'm fairly ignorant when it comes to tillage, but our tillage guy, James Hanks, could not be here. So if you have any questions about tillage, you're liable to find out just how ignorant I am. Now, there's lots of changes underway in the cotton production. In the southeast, in Mississippi, there's a lot more corn being planted now. And the producers who still are planting cotton are going into cotton-corn rotations. So there's a lot more corn being planted. And the producers are looking at ways to reduce input costs and starting to address some environmental concerns. So there's a growing interest in conservation practices. Among those is conservation tillage. And even though we get a lot of rain in Mississippi, sometimes it doesn't come at the right time, so irrigation, the use of irrigation, is increasing also. So we undertook this study to look at the yield of cotton in a corn-cotton rotation under different tillage and irrigation treatments. We looked at two different tillage treatments, conventional and minimum till, and then we looked at irrigated and non-irrigated. Now, this was a five-year study, which we started in 2003. Now, the field we picked was at our research station in Stoneville, Mississippi. We took an eight-acre field and we divided it into four, one field for each of the irrigated and tillage treatments. So we divided this field into four. Each field had 32. It was 32 rows wide. The field sloped from the east to the west, so the rows ran this direction. And we subdivided each of these into three different plots. So in the middle of each of those plots, we had some monitoring stations where we collected different agronomic and moisture data. A little bit of information about the tillage treatments. In the Mississippi Delta, you know, the conventional tillage consists of, after harvest, you go out and shred the stalks, disc the fields down, and then bed them back up, and then let them sit for the winter. In the spring, they come back and re-hip the rows, then knock them down to form a smooth, stable seed bed, and then plant. In the minimum tillage, we're trying to do as little as possible. So in the fall, after the stalks are shredded, we run a roller over it with every other buster down. And that is to reform the furrows and clean them out, get ready for the winter rains, help with the drainage during the winter. And then in the spring, we'll come back, and if we need to, we'll run the busters again just to clear out any crop residue, and then plants. As far as irrigation, surface irrigation is still pretty popular there. So we furrow irrigate most of our fields there at the experiment station. We pump water out of a well and then run it to the field in a polypipe main line. And then to irrigate the fields, we have these adjustable slide gates for each of the furrows, so we can adjust the flow to each furrow to try and make the distribution of water even across the field and cut down on any runoff. And to schedule our irrigations, we had installed moisture sensors in each of the plots. Now, to get a map of our soils, we ran various electrical conductivity equipment across the field. And this gave us a map of our fields. Conductivity has been correlated with soil texture. So this gave us an idea of how variable the soils are in our fields. And these soils are, in this field, are kind of like a Clint Eastwood movie. Good, bad, and ugly. At the top end of the field here, we've got some pretty light, sandy loam soil. And as we go down the field, the soils get heavier. And down in this bottom here, we have some pretty nasty cracking clay. So we've got quite a lot of variability across this field. For harvest data, we harvest there with the spindle picker. All our pickers have yield monitors. So we monitor we collect the yield data with the yield monitor, and then we also dump all of our cotton into a bowl buggy that has load cells so that we can collect the total absolute weights, and then we use this also to calibrate our yield monitors. So here are some of the results that we found. We started out looking at just the yield from our bowl buggy, figuring that was all the cotton that we collected. This told us everything we needed to know about those plots. So for each treatment, we looked at the yield, tabulated it for each of the treatments. Here's irrigated, conventional tilled, irrigation minimum tilled, non-irrigated minimum tilled, non-irrigated conventional tilled, and plotted them up. And if you look at the numbers, well, the irrigated did better than the non-irrigated. The conventional tilled did the best. But as you suspect, it's not that easy. And there's more to the story than that. When we started looking closer at the data, well, first we looked at the yield from each of our smaller plots. Since we had collected data at different places in the field, we looked get an idea of what was happening down the field. And we found that the yield was pretty well correlated with the varus. In each of these treatments here, we had three plots. And low varus numbers usually mean a lighter soil, a better soil, and in those soils, we had a higher yield. A high varus number means you've got more clay, and in those areas, we had a lower yield. So if you look at each of those treatments, we had a low varus number and a higher yield. As the varus increased, the yields dropped off. For these treatments, the varus increased and yields dropped off. Same for here. Well, in this last treatment, the varus values didn't vary that much. So our soil was a whole lot more consistent, and our yields didn't vary much either. So we looked farther into that and to see what the influence of the soil variability was. So we went back to our soil maps and our yield maps, and we noticed that in this non-irrigated conventional tilled treatment, which appeared to be the best, well, the soils here were a whole lot more consistent. They were also better soils, where in some of these other treatments, it ranged from pretty good soil to pretty bad soil. And we also, looking at the crop conditions, in this treatment here, we had a lot better looking cotton, especially down here at the bottom. Here we had a nice vigorous growth and a full canopy, where in these other, at this part of the field in these other treatments, you know, the cotton struggled to reach 2 feet and the canopy never closed. It was very different crops. And you can see the influence in the yield maps. Here's the yield maps for those 3 years when we had the cotton. Up in this area where the better soil is, we got higher yields. Down in this corner where we've got this clay soil, much lower yields. But in this one treatment, it was pretty consistent throughout. Even here, we had much higher yields at the bottom than we did in these other treatments. So right away, just because our soil's better, you'd expect differences in the yield despite the treatment. So to further account for the soilability variability, we used some GIS software. We went back to the yield maps, and in the software, we ran a line through each of our treatments to get a yield value all the way through the field, and then we did the same with the soil map. So at the same locations, we had a yield value and a varus value, and then we plotted those. So here's the varus readings plotted against the cotton yield. And yield was highly correlated with the variance. Now in 2003, this is the first year of this study. So really, the conventional till and the minimum till, there wasn't a whole lot of difference in the tillage since we had just started the minimum till. Also that year we had adequate rainfall. We only needed to irrigate once, so there wasn't a big difference between the irrigated and the non-irrigated treatments. So if you look at the yield here, you know, for each of the different treatments, you know, there's not a lot of difference here. But 4 years later, well, the minimum till had been minimum for 4 years. That year we didn't have enough rain, so we had to irrigate more. So we started to see some differences among those treatments. But the tricky part is, well, what does all that mean? And this is where the difficulty came in. In this non-irrigated conventional till treatment, because the soil was so much more consistent, if you can see those light green dots, we only had data over this small range of varus readings, where some of the other plots, like this dark green, the irrigated conventional till, we had a much greater range of soils. So how do you compare something in this range to something over that range? Well, one thing you could do, I guess, is pick a varus value and say, you know, if we had this type of soil, four different treatments, how did those treatments compare? But then which value do you pick? If we look around in this area here, well, this treatment was the best, the irrigated conventional till, and this one, the non-irrigated conventional, which based on the boll buggy readings was the best, well, it was really the worst. If you go to a different place over here, you may get different results. And then another difficulty, well, some of these treatments didn't extend over the whole range. Like this this light green here, we don't have any data down here because in that treatment, it didn't have that soil type. So we went back and rearranged the yield data a little bit. Now I've got it arranged basically by the position in the field here. So these first treatments here, this is the head end of the field where the irrigation system was. And these four plots here, well, they kind of have the same soil. And those are shown here. So if you look at, say for 2007, if you look at the yields here, well, now it looks like the irrigated conventional till was better. And the non-irrigated, almost as good, but not quite as good. If you go down to the middle of the field where we've got some different soil conditions here, shown in the middle here, we have the irrigated conventionally tilled is still better. This non-irrigated one, not quite as good. But at the bottom of the field where we've got this totally different type of soil, well, you can't really compare these here because if you look at the varus readings, two of these were pretty high and these other ones were a little bit lower. So I can't say that we're comparing the same types of soil. But here, if we looked at these two, these were both irrigated. The only difference was the tillage. Well, down here, it looks like the minimum till was better. So I guess the conclusion you could draw is, not unsurprising, well, depending on the soil that you've got, you may have to do some different tillage treatments. So I think one of the main conclusions that we found was you've got to take the soil into account. When you're looking at analyzing the treatments, for one thing, they can be pretty, make me a little tricky to figure out. But also, if you don't take the soil variability into account, you can come up with some misleading conclusions. So knowledge is always power, so the more information you collect, the more the better you're likely to be, especially for researchers, so we can better interpret our results, and then to pass that on to producers so they can better know their fields and know what practices are more appropriate for them. Unfortunately, no time for ignorant answers. So.